Some of you may know, because of Facebook or because of Wednesday night, that I had a friend of mine from seminary die this last week. And it really hit me, and I was reflecting on why it hit me so much. I haven't seen this particular person, his name was Stu, I haven't seen Stu in 15 years. I think in all of that time, the most interaction I've had with Stu is maybe a few, a little bit of banter on a Facebook comments section. And it likely had to do with the Vikings and Eagles, not even grand theological things. So why is it that his death sort of so hit me? Part of it may be that he was actually younger even than I was, although he's around my age. But I think it's really because we were part of a seminary community together. We went through something in common, and we had these ups and downs, and we had our roles in this community of late night conversations and shared meals. Again, we were part of a community, and so this last week, as I was sort of thinking about this, anytime I was on social media, so many of my friends were also explaining and lamenting their own grief. It's something very powerful to be part of a community. We all, as humans, long for a handful of deep and intimate friendships and relationships, but at the same way, we all hunger to be part of, again, a community, a place, a space where we know our role, where we're accepted. We can be ourselves. The last year has been hard on community. There's been all sorts of restrictions due to the virus, due to governments, due to leaders, due to family members, due to our own consciences, due to technology. There's been all sorts of limitations we face that have made a sense of community difficult. And so while we, again, always as humans have this hunger, I think many of us are eager to have a sense of community, to have a sense of a belonging, a place and a space, a set of relationships where we can know our role. So I'd like to reflect with you on this kind of healing that Jesus intends for us, our space and our place within a community. And I'd like to suggest that the world's going to offer us community, but it's always going to be a little bit distorted. And I'd like to suggest that Jesus offers us another kind of community. And the first kind of community that the world offers us is typically what we might call competitive community. And I don't simply mean like competitive, like I'm on this team and you're on that team and we want to beat you, but competition within the community. So for instance, at work, maybe you get assigned a project. And of course, you want the whole team to do well, but you know that only so many of you are going to get promoted. Right? There's only so much money that's going to be given out for a bonus, only so many titles. And so, yeah, you're working with the other people, but there's, you know, competition. I feel this way when I get together with other pastors. Often a sense of, again, a little bit of competition among us, even though we're all in this together. This can happen in families as well. Maybe not always as tragic as the story of Cain and Abel, but we can sense we're together, yet there's some competition among us. This last week, there was the all-important parents' meeting for one of my daughter's basketball teams. And I have to say, I didn't really act the way I should have. I didn't pick up on all the social cues. The other parents were super friendly with me. And I kind of was scratching my head. I'm thinking, you didn't pay money to see my daughter play basketball. Right? You paid money so your kids would play basketball. Like, we're in this, but we're kind of competing, really, if you think about it. And more than that, I think I'm just at a point in my life where these sort of frenemy communities, where we're in it together, but we're not really, I find them exhausting. I find them exhausting after a while. Today we see in the gospel reading a different kind of community. And it's a community whose basis isn't competition, but whose basis is vulnerability. Again, the community that Jesus offers us is a community based on shared vulnerability. And vulnerability is so crucial in relationships, right? We can have a common interest with somebody and we'd call them an acquaintance. But if they're going to become a friend, it's because somewhere along the way, somebody let down their guard and then the other person could help. That's what moves an acquaintance with a common interest to a friend, when there's been that shared vulnerability. And today, the crowd cries out in the words of the ancient psalm, Hosanna, which means, Lord, save us. And I believe that when a people cry out, Lord, save us, and they mutually acknowledge that they are vulnerable, that they can't do it on their own, this is when a group of people become a community. Again, a group of people who can cry out together, Hosanna, and admit their need for God, admit that they are not just self-sufficient individuals competing with one another. This is when a people become a community. The last year for our church has been very difficult, this is to be sure, but in some ways I sense that there has been a work of God to bring us to a tighter and more intimate and more vulnerable community with one another. I think many of us often come to church and we want to make sure that we look like we have our acts together. Even though in the last week all sorts of chaos erupted in our families, in our marriages, in our workplaces. But we want to make sure that on Sunday morning we sort of have it all together. But the last year we couldn't do that anymore. No, the last year we knew that on any given week many of us were crying out, Hosanna. Lord, save us. Lord, save us from the virus. Save us from all the economic meltdown. Save us from the restrictions. Save us from the grief. Save us from everything. Lord, save us. And I sense out of this mutual admission that we couldn't do it on our own, suddenly we were forced in a new way to become a community together. And I saw this, I saw this again and again in groups as people opened up. And I've heard from so many people that in the last year, some of the discussions that they've had with fellow church members have been more open than in the past, as we've again finally admitted that we all need the Lord to save us. Vulnerability, again, is the ligament that holds us together in community, and the community. Us this year that has cried out, Hosanna, is a community that has a new way of understanding each other and our mutual need for God. The world will also offer us a consumer celebrity way of community. And what I mean by this is, like, it's a consumer thing and then I can take it or leave it. I can walk away. So, you know, I like Harry Potter, so I can buy my cool Harry Potter socks. Or I like Star Wars, and I can buy my Star Wars, toys. Or I can, you know, I wouldn't, but other people might buy a Taylor Swift t-shirt, right? You can sort of participate with these celebrities, and then you can identify and say, oh, wow, that person likes the same singer or likes the same movie or the same Netflix shows that I do. It's a way to connect to people. But ultimately, it's very consumer. Because you can always just walk away. Right? As much as Taylor Swift may miss my, you know, $29.99 that I paid for her t-shirt, I don't think that I really change her ability to be creative. She's not calling me or any of you up saying, I'm having a tough day, can you help me here? Again, it's a very distant way of being community where we can take it and we can just kind of leave it too and walk away. And our individual contribution really doesn't seem to make much of a difference. Jesus isn't interested in this kind of connection with his disciples, and he's not interested that the disciples would form relationships like that. Palm Sunday is kind of anticlimactic. All the crowds come, and in the end, Jesus says, yeah, that's not what this is really about. Jesus has a very different purpose on Palm Sunday than simply gathering crowds like a celebrity that they can worship him from afar. No, the real Christian community is one of participation. The real Christian community is one where each of us has something to give. Jesus today looks at the disciples and he says, look, I want you two to go ahead and I want you to get this donkey, for I have need of this donkey. And it's kind of a strange series of events, right? Why couldn't have Jesus just done this for himself? Why can't sort of Jesus just snap a finger and then the donkey would be there? For some reason, Jesus chooses to engage and have the disciples be involved. This is, again, what Jesus does. Jesus could do things on his own, but instead, Jesus chooses to have us participate in and harvest the gifts we all have been given. And that's been a real challenge for us as a church this last year. Last year, this weekend, I was the only one in the sanctuary. I ran sound, I sang the songs, I did the sermon, and I did the readings. And it was not really particularly great in quality. That's not what we want, right? We know that we're eager to be a community in which we're able to participate. And I give Pam a lot of credit over the last year and all the other staff trying to find out ways, how can we make this so this really is a community where each person has their gifts to share? There's a lot of discussion right now in the church and at St. Paul as well about our ability to broadcast and spread the message far and wide. And I see this all the time. A friend of mine from Chile was making fun of me for my sermon this week. He was asking me if I use my sermon voice when I go to drive-thrus. And I was like, no, I don't. He's like, I don't. And so, but this is, again, the strange world we live in, where my friend on the other side of the world is kind of, because he's a college friend, of course, he has to make fun of me, but he's actually listening to my sermons. So we have this ability to broadcast, but I really want to hear, and for those that are watching now online or calling in, however we choose to do this, one of our passions, I think one of the hallmarks of the Christian community, is that we would be participatory. And however people are choosing to sort of engage in worship, we want to find ways that each person who interacts with us can find a way into a community, find a way where their gifts can be shared. And that can happen in all sorts of ways. Like this last week, we scheduled somebody for a vaccine appointment, but they couldn't go there. So somebody else who was already vaccinated was able to drive them to it. Again, all the ways in which we can share our gifts. So the world offers us community that's competitive, community that's consumer, celebrity-oriented, and the Christian alternative is a community of mutual vulnerability and sharing, where we share our wounds and our gifts with one another, drawn in by the power of Christ. But there is at least one other way in which we can be community today. And that is that society offers us many ways in which we can be in a community of complainers. We can form mutual disgust societies. Sometimes this is called talk radio. We can form mutual disgust societies. And this can be online, in person, right? And we can just spend all of our efforts tearing everybody else down. And we can affirm that not only is everybody else crazy, but even God doesn't like everybody who's different than us. We can do this. And we've seen plenty of examples of this, where it even goes from complaining into anger and to hatred. The world's hungry for a community. And if as a church we're not offering community, we know that these communities will ultimately draw so many people in. There's much, in fact, we could complain about with Palm Sunday. In fact, there are people who complain. The religious leaders aren't happy with Jesus. And if there ever was a Sunday to be cynical about the leadership potential in the church or the church as an institution, it might be Palm Sunday. For it is the very religious leaders, very much the temple itself, that will drive Jesus to his death. It might be easy for us to be cynical about the church. As a pastor, I have seen firsthand some of the hardship that happens in the church. As I've been hurt by people, as I've hurt other people, as I've seen other people leave churches, I've heard their stories, and I've seen pastors kicked out of churches. Again, I've seen the sort of the way in which churches can become mutual complaint societies. So why am I not cynical? Why do I not just sort of walk away from the church and sort of have my hands done with it? Well, it's because Jesus has come to Jerusalem for a purpose, and that purpose is not simply a celebration with palms, as glorious and fun as it is. But the purpose of Jesus coming to Jerusalem is to die on a cross. And I think ultimately, real community must grow out of the cross. For if we're really going to be in a community, eventually people are going to tick us off. People are going to disappoint us, and people are going to hurt us. And so what do? Well, one alternative is we can simply compete with them and try to grind them down. Another is we can be consumers. We can just walk away. Another is we can just sort of be complainers and join the anger and try to work out our anger on them. That's not real community. No, real community happens when we live with people over the years, over the decades. And we live through this stuff. But we have all this frustration and hurt with them. And where does it go? Well, it must go to the cross. It must go to the cross where we lay down our sins and the sorrows. And then Jesus takes them into his body and offers us back his life, his forgiveness, and the mysterious grace-filled process of reconciliation. So yeah, I'm just as cynical as anybody about the capacity of organized religion to hurt people. But I know in the end, the only alternative is the community of Christ, is the community of the cross in which finally we're free to be vulnerable and we're equipped to share our gifts with one another. For it's in this community where we can cry out, "Hosanna, Lord, save us," and our cries are answered as Jesus Christ comes and vulnerably opens up his arms wide to embrace our sin and our suffering, that he might draw us in, that even our haunted cries of "crucify him" ultimately are turned in to a community that gathers and proclaims "Alleluia." Amen.